This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Always reflexes to think about the coaches in that situation, and they have so much information. They're with these guys every day. They got to be with them the next day, and they've got to move their team along. So, you know, when I watch, it's fun for me to watch, knowing that there's so much information I don't know, because you're just going to sit there and guess. And you have to have a trust. When I watch games like that, I actually have a trust in the coaches are using all the information they have in those decisions. And again, we don't have that information, so there's definitely a respect for that, I guess, when I watch those games. They're tough. You know, you're playing against another NFL team, you're playing against another NHL team. These teams are amazingly prepared, amazingly good athletes, and every decision is an important one, really.
Zach is bringing the Friday vibes I'm feeling right now with the music and the fact that I'm going on vacation after the show's over today, so I'm very much looking forward to that. And happy Friday to all here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brayton Wilson filling in during the One Bills Live slot once again. Steve Tasker, Chris Brown off for the rest of the week due to the bye week. They get a bye week as well, somewhat, sort of. They worked earlier in the week. But still, we're here. We're here to talk plenty of Sabres hockey with you. We're also going to talk some Bills football. We'll sprinkle it in there, kind of like we did in yesterday's show. If you want to call in with any thoughts on the Bills or the Sabres, you're more than welcome to. The phone number is 803-0550, the local number. If you need the toll-free number, it's 1-888-550-2550. It's real simple. Just pick up the phone and dial those numbers up. Give me a call with your questions, comments, anything pertaining to the Bills or the Sabres. Here's your lineup for today. Paul Hamilton's been a very busy man already today. He's already spoke with Howard and Jeremy. He spoke with Joe DiBiase during the Extra Point Show. He's going to come on with me at 1:30 to talk about tonight's Sabres matchup with the Bruins and just how the expectations are going to pan out here for the Sabres and get his thoughts on that. Also, some updated news with the recent developments with the Jack Eichel saga. So we'll ask him about that and get his thoughts there. We'll also talk about that with you as well. Coming up at 2 o'clock, we'll get even more information about the potential updates with the Jack Eichel saga with David Pagnotta from theFourthPeriod.com. Always a great listen, always a great follow on Twitter as well. He's dialed in with the rest of the NHL, and he'll give us the latest on what's going on with the Sabres coming up at 2 o'clock. We'll get the latest from him. And other than that, the time is open for you to join the show. Call me up. Let me know what's on your sports mind with the Bills, the Sabres, whatever else is on your mind. Feel free to let us know. 803-0550. So the Sabres tonight are at home, KeyBank Center, for their fourth game of their four-game homestand to wrap up the season opener. Season opening week, weekend, however you want to go about that with the Sabres here, as they're looking for win number four in a row as well. They are hoping to get themselves in a position to start the season 4-0-0. It would be the first time that they've done that since the 2008-2009 season. Yes, I know that yesterday I was saying that it's the first time they've started 3-0 since that same season, but that year they ended up starting the season 4-0-0. I'm just going to bring up the so we can clarify the Sabres season that year in 2008-2009. The Sabres finished the year going 41-32-9. In that stretch, and pulling up their schedule from that year real quick, they started the season 4-0-0. They ended up losing a shootout game after that, winning a couple of games in overtime in a shootout. They started the season through the first eight games 6-0-2 and still missed the playoffs that season. So there's a notch in the argument for people saying, oh yeah, these hot starts, they're all nice and everything, but you know, you still don't make the playoffs after that. This team's totally different from that team, though, because that team, they're 2 years removed from losing their best players on the roster in Chris Drury and Daniel Briere. They are kind of a new core group of players, Derek Roy, Thomas Vanek. Let's see, you know, some of the players that are still on that roster. Going back to their stats here. Bringing it up really quick. Craig Gervais was the captain, by the way. Old Man River was the captain. Your leading scorer that year was Derek Roy, 70 points in 82 games. Jason Palmville was there. Tim Connolly was still there. Drew Stafford, Yaroslav Spacek, Aleš Kotelik. Some very, very familiar names. But again, 2 years being removed from losing your two best assets in Briere and Drury in free agency on that stupid day in 2007 on July 1st. Yeah, so that team, certainly on paper and on the ice, was pretty well built, pretty well coached, and they started off the year hot, ended up falling apart. I think that was the same year, too, that Ryan Miller and the Scotty Gomez incident where he got run into and ended up suffering a pretty significant injury, a high ankle sprain or something like that, and that was part of the reason why they missed the playoffs. But yeah, so the Sabres getting off to a really decent start, 3-0 this season, looking to make it a perfect 4. And again, tonight's game is on ESPN Plus if you're looking to watch the game. So if you have ESPN Plus or Hulu, you got nothing to worry about. If you don't, then you're kind of SOL, and maybe you got a buddy that you can steal their password or something like that. I don't know if I should advocate that because I think it is some reasons. We talked about this on the morning show before. I think sharing passwords are in some instances is a federal offense, which is weird. But so yeah, if you're looking for the game, it'll be on ESPN Plus, whether you've got it or you need to find a way to watch it. ESPN Plus. We will have it on WGR here, of course. Every game throughout the season we will have here on WGR, whether it's Dan Dunleavy or Rick Jenneret on the call, and also Rob Ray doing the color commentary. But the Sabres right now playing really well. They're going to be facing a Boston Bruins team tonight. This is the first test that this Sabres team has had since the opening of the season. The first three games, Montreal has been off to a terrible start. I think we're starting to see the type of team that Canadiens group is. Granted, they don't have Carey Price in goal, which might hurt, but that's a team that was in the Stanley Cup final last year, and they're 0-5-0 to start the season through the first five games. Yikes. Then you face the Arizona Coyotes, who are not off to as terrible of a start as the Canadiens are, but they're still a terrible team. They are still a team that likely is going to finish near the bottom of the standings, if not the worst team in the NHL, which is just, to me right now, pretty remarkable that how bad that team looks. I mean, they look really, really bad, the Coyotes do. And then you faced a Canucks team that is always just kind of one of those teams that, oh yeah, the Canucks, they're competitive, but are they any better than a middling team in the NHL? They're not. So tonight, the Bruins come to town. We'll see some familiar faces in the building. Taylor Hall, who Sabres did play after they traded him to Boston last year. They will play Curtis Lazar as well, another former Sabre. And getting the start for the Bruins tonight in goal for the first time all season is Linus Ullmark, who happened to lose the starting job for the Bruins after being a guy that was looked at as being the starter. He struggled in the preseason, ended up losing the starting job to Jeremy Swayman, which not exactly a good look when you got paid all that money during the offseason. But, you know, Linus Ullmark still gets paid the money. He goes to Boston, a handsome deal for him as well, to be their number one guy. And, you know, maybe eventually he wins that number one job back from Jeremy Swayman, but as of right now, he is not the number one guy. He's going to get his first career start with the Bruins tonight against his former team. And the Sabres are turning to Craig Anderson in goal, the 40-year-old veteran netminder. So the Sabres right now looking really good. Again, yesterday we had talked a lot about just like what kind of caught your eye with this team and what impressed you with this team. And I can't stress enough just how much going into this season I thought this team was just going to be another bottom feeding team once again. The pieces here are nice. The pieces here are looking good so far through the first three games, but I did not expect this team to be a team that has dominated the pace of play and has controlled the puck as much as they have and has played really well special teams-wise in the power play and the penalty kill. They are excelling in just about every facet of the game right now through three games. And yes, again, it's three games. I get it. And the tough competition is still yet to come. They face the Bruins tonight. They face a much better Devils team tomorrow. Then they'll face the defending Stanley Cup champion Lightning on Monday before going out on their first West Coast road trip since the 2019-20 season, where they'll play the Ducks, the Kings, the Sharks, and also the Seattle Kraken. We'll get our first taste of the Seattle Kraken on this next upcoming West Coast road trip for the Sabres, which begins next week Thursday in Anaheim. So the Sabres getting some tough competition coming up, but this is kind of where I think this is going to be really the first test that we see with the Sabres team is how well are they going to handle the adversity when they're facing the better teams in this league. Boston certainly is a team that is likely going to be favored in the Atlantic Division to make the playoffs again. You got Florida, who I think right now, in terms of just how well they're playing, I think they're the best team in the Atlantic Division. You have Tampa, defending Stanley Cup champion. There's no denying that. There's no denying that fact that they are the champions and they are still playing well, even though they lost Nikita Kucherov again to a long-term injury. You've got Boston. And you've got, the rest of the group there. Montreal, nah. The Toronto Maple Leafs are there. Sure, yeah. I mean, Toronto looks like they're probably going to be good again. And then you got Detroit, Ottawa, and then Buffalo. So the Sabres, facing this tougher competition, the real question is going to be, going forward, is just can they live up to the hype of the first three games? Because, I mean, I'll be honest, I feel like that through the first seven, segments of the 2 days that I've been on the show here, I've kind of been hyping up this team and maybe hyping them up a little too much. Maybe my expectations have shot through the roof with this team compared to what I was saying before the season where, this team might not be anything more than a bottom five, bottom three team once again. It still could be the case. Weirder things have happened before. Sabres had a 10-game win streak, and next thing you know, they completely fell off a cliff and didn't even come close to making the playoffs. But the Sabres, right now, what we're seeing from this group under the leadership of Don Granato and some of the other players that are on the roster that have become the leaders, like Kyle Oposo and Zemgus Girgensons, we're getting what feels like to me, we're getting the best team effort, the best complete team effort we've seen from this team in a long while. And by long while, I mean since the last time this team was in the playoffs. Because you look at the group from top to bottom, there's really not a lot of names on this Sabres roster right now that are all that sexy. I mean, your leading scorer right now is Zemgus Girgensons and Colin Miller. Colin Miller has four assists and Zemgus Girgensons has two goals and two assists. Again, three games. They're likely not going to be there atop the leaderboard for scoring by the time the season is over. Your more sexier names on the roster, which, how sexy are they? Not all that sexy, not all that, prevalent in the league circles. You've got Jeff Skinner. You've got Dylan Cousins. You've got Victor Olofsson. Then you got some of the relatively unknown names around the league, which include, the Anders Bjorks, the Tage Thompsons, the Arttu Ruotsalainens, the Rasmus Asplunds. And they're not unknown. It's just they haven't really stood out to a point where other teams, other markets would kind of like consider them as, X factors in games. Like, oh, yeah, that guy's pretty darn good. That guy we've seen enough of him. He's going to be a weapon to watch and a guy to try and defend. Then you got on the blue line Rasmus Dahlin, obviously. You would have Henry Yokiharju, but he's hurt. Callum Miller, Will Butcher, Robert Hag, Mark Pezek, household names. And then you got, you know, the younger guys like Jacob Bryson, and you're going to get Mattias Samuelsson back. Samuelsson was back in practice, by the way, today for the Sabres. He was practicing on a defensive pairing with Christian Wolinen. He's not going to play tonight. Who knows when he'll get in the lineup. Maybe he goes back to Rochester for all we know, but, you know, that's something we'll figure out as the weekend goes along and the week goes along. There's not really anybody on this team that really has all that appeal around the league. But I'm telling you, though, is that what you're seeing on paper and what you're seeing in terms of the underlying stats and the stats that are pretty prevalent is that the effort that this team is getting from top to bottom is pretty darn complete. They're getting contributions from all four lines. They're not struggling in one area of the game that is super concerning yet. Like during the 10-game win streak back in 2018, in November 2018, yeah, the Sabres were winning all these games. They won 10 in a row. But there were underlying concerns with the team. There were a lot of underlying concerns with this group in that 2018-19 season when they rattled off 10 straight wins. It was expected that they were going to go downhill from there, that they were going to start losing more games than winning. But this team so far through three games and through the preseason and training camp, I think they have the belief in that locker room that it doesn't matter who they throw out on the ice. It doesn't matter who's out there in a given situation. It doesn't matter who's going to be on the ice when they need a goal or when they need to defend. That they could get the job done and that they can win in this league, which is something that this team certainly has not had in a really long time. Even when the Sabres got Jack Eichel, got Sam Reinhart, got Ryan O'Reilly, and had that kind of core group in here. That might be the first time that we felt anything close to this with this group from top to bottom. A complete team effort from start to finish that just is entertaining to watch. It's so fun to watch this team contribute and play the way that they are, play the way that they have. And it's resulted in three straight wins, which is fantastic to see. It's fun to see. And this team is going to be featured on ESPN Plus tonight. John Butchergrass is in town, which is pretty darn cool. Him and Ryan Callahan, Rochester native, are going to be doing the play-by-play action on ESPN Plus. They're going to get that national recognition if you're going to be watching via ESPN Plus or Hulu. It's pretty darn cool. And if the Sabres could go out and put up an effort tonight against a Bruins team like this, even if they don't win, even if it's a complete effort, it's, you know, they can keep up with the Bruins. They can put up as many chances, because when you're looking at the stats, the basic stats that everyone kind of looks to and seeing a team that way, Buffalo's right there with the Boston Bruins, if not better in certain areas. And I feel like I'm going to just be a broken record here in making this point. Again, it's three games. I get it. But what we're seeing from these young players, again, this group is not really the sexiest of groups. They're a young crop of players that have good leadership players there to kind of guide them along the way. But you don't have a star player like a Jack Eichel in the mix right now. You don't have a very good player like Sam Reinhart in the mix right now. When you look at that Bruins roster, the top line is chock full of three players that are star players in this league. Brad Marchand on the left wing, Patrice Bergeron at center, and David Pastrnak on the right wing. Those are three players that are arguably in the top 10 of the best players in their positions in the NHL. Sabres don't really have any of those players right now. Because some of those players probably haven't either developed into that role or they may never develop into that role. Jack Eichel was the closest thing that they have, but we'll get to Jack Eichel in a little bit because there is an update in terms of what's going on with the Sabres and Jack Eichel's camp and what's next with developments in that situation. It's really ugly, and it might get even more ugly before this thing gets any better. But this group, looking at it on paper, looking at it on the ice, there's no one that is really just looked at right now as this top figure. And I think this is why it's so surprising for many people around the league. It's so surprising because there really is no one here that is just taking the reins and is dominated as good as a guy like Jack Eichel would have. Or as a guy like Sam Reinhart did when Don Granato took over in the later part of last year. There's no Taylor Hall on this roster like there was last year. There's no Ryan O'Reilly that the Sabres have had in the past. This is just kind of a group of misfits that happen to put their stuff together and are going out there and playing fun hockey, dominating in the process. And we'll see how that takes shape against a team in Boston that is significantly built better than the Buffalo Sabres. But if you want to share your thoughts on what's going on with this team, you're more than welcome to at any point today at 803-0550. You can text us, you can tweet us, you can call us. Feel free to pick up that phone and do whatever you need to do with that phone to get a hold of the show, get a hold of me, and interact with what's going on here on today's show. Again, we're going to have Paul Hamilton coming up at 1:30. We're going to have David Pagnotta from the fourth period at 2 o'clock. Getting you ready tonight for Buffalo Sabres hockey, taking on the Bruins down at KeyBank Center. And we'll have all the action for you right here on WGR. I mean, I'm looking at the line combinations right now for this Boston Bruins team. And when you compare it to the Sabres, I mean, again, you look at the Sabres lines and, you know, it seems like the combinations are working, but holy crap, this Boston Bruins team is pretty darn well built. I mean, we mentioned that top line. That top line's been one of the best lines in the NHL for several years. But you look down the lineup, Taylor Hall on the left wing with Charlie Coyle and Craig Smith. That's a pretty darn good line. Jake DeBrusque, Erik Haula, Tomas Nošek. That's their third line. That's still pretty good. Their fourth line is the one that's most questionable, but even then, still, they're solid depth contributors in Anton Blid, Trent Frederick, and Carson Kuhlman. Where the question I have is with this Bruins team is defense. You have Charlie McAvoy and Matt Grizzly. That's your top pairing. That's good top pairing right there. Then you've got Mike Riley and Brandon Carlo on the blue line. Carlo's good. Riley, he's kind of a journeyman. He's been around. He's bounced around from place to place. And then you have Derek Forbit and John Moore, which, meh. I mean, looking at the Bruins, looking at the Sabres, I think the Bruins right now are currently put together with more talented talent. I know that's kind of weird to say, but they are certainly the more talented team on paper and on the ice looking at it than compared to the Sabres. If the Sabres come out here tonight at KeyBank Center in downtown Buffalo and are step for step with this Boston Bruins team and go out there and put up one hell of an effort again, play a complete 60 minutes, I think that is nothing but extremely good omens for what is to come for the rest of the season. Because you're going up against one of the best teams in the league still in the Boston Bruins. Yes, they're probably not as good as last year, but they're still a playoff caliber team. They're still one of the best teams in the Atlantic. And if you want to be able to get into the playoffs, you have to unseed one of those top teams in the Atlantic Division. The Atlantic Division is one of the toughest teams in the divisions in this entire league. Lightning, Florida, Toronto, Boston, your top four teams there. Of course, Montreal just made the Stanley Cup final last year, but they were playing in a really weak North Division, so kind of set that aside. We'll make last year an exception, but they're still in the picture. Detroit still is trying to rebuild and turn their season around and turn everything around for the organization, not just this season, but going forward in the future. Ottawa, the exact same way. They've all built some nice pieces and have good pieces, sustainable long-term pieces in their organizations. Like Red Wings have Dylan Larkin. Senators have Brady Tkachuk. Sabres right now have nobody that's really proven to a point where it's like, hey, they have this guy, especially in the forward group. Defensively, Ottawa has Thomas Chabot. Red Wings have Moritz Seider. Sabres have Rasmus Dahlin. Great. But the Sabres right now, front especially, do not have that piece that's like, they have that guy to look forward to. It was Jack Eichel. It's not going to happen anymore. 803-0551, 888-552-550. I'll take a phone call here. Let's go out to Hamilton, Ontario. Andrew, good afternoon. You're on WGR. Go right ahead, man.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me on. I appreciate
it. Thanks again for calling in.
There's so much to say positively this year. I mean, I haven't seen Buffalo look like that in years. The speed of the game is entertaining without any superstars on the ice. I can't put my head down watching the game. I haven't been bored yet. I did want to comment about that going forward. I mean, I hope Granato can keep them playing like that, because that's why they beat Vancouver. You know, Vancouver didn't show up in the second period, and we seemed to dominate the game. We didn't. Our goal was the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
You've been building up Boston a lot, but we just beat the Stanley Cup finalists last week. I thought that was a huge game.
Yeah, it was a little different though, because they don't have their top players. A lot of their top players in the lineup, like Carey Price, is on the personal absence. The assistance program at the NHL, and you know, Shea Weber is out long term, maybe out for the rest of his career. So that Montreal team is a little differently built, but I mean, I get your point there, man. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
They frustrated Montreal though. A guy like Josh Anderson, you want to muck it up with a few guys, you can mm-hmm. catch anybody.
Yeah,
I'm thinking the same thing's going to happen to Boston. They like to play a rough and tough offense. I think the speed, the guys are so smart on our team. The last thing I wanted to say was I was really impressed with the trade from Philly with Hag, is it? The
mm-hmm.
defenseman?
Yeah.
I've been watching him. You know, I really regretted losing McCabe. I was a big McCabe fan the whole time, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the whole time he was here, I really didn't want him to leave, but I understand. But this guy, Hag, he reminds me a lot of him. He's blocking shots all night. He's tough as nails. And he defends the blue line really well.
Yeah. Yeah, Andrew, thanks for the call. I'll say this about Robert Hag. Robert Hag, from what I've seen from him, whether it was in Philadelphia or on the international stage, because he did play for Sweden, World Junior stuff and everything, he's just super reliable at both ends of the ice. He's not super offensive. He can play offensive, but that's not like his bread and butter. His two-way game is just really solid. He's been extremely good, especially in his own end. I mean, what was it? The other night he blocked six shots on the night. I think in the opening game against Montreal, he blocked six shots or something like that. I mean, he's a team player. He's a guy that's going to go out there and try and do what it takes to win for the game. You don't want to give him an excessive amount of minutes, but he's just a smart guy. He's just reliable. It's exactly what we wanted from a guy like Rasmus Ristolainen, but can never get from him in his own zone. He's just not going to be the offensive producer like Ristolainen was. But I really like the addition of Robert Hag. And Andrew, you made some really good points there. Thanks for the call. We'll get into the Jack Eichel situation a little bit more when we come back from the break with Paul Hamilton. We'll also get a little bit of a preview from tonight's game against the Boston Bruins down at KeyBank Center. Again, we'll talk with David Pagnotta at 11. 2 o'clock this afternoon, and then in the 2:30 segment, it is all open to you, and we'll continue to talk. And I did bring up a little teaser from yesterday, didn't get to it, but I want to get to it today. A power rankings in the NHL was released, and the Sabres are ranked pretty darn high in those power rankings already. We'll get to that a little later on in the show. Brayton Wilson filling in for One Bills Live today. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. You're listening to WGR.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last.
Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Paul Hamilton.
How can you not love hearing this song and not thinking about Paul Hamilton? It's the only reason I ever play this, anyway. Paul's joining us here on the Wester Hotline here on WGR. The Sabres get ready to face the Boston Bruins this evening down at KeyBank Center. A 7 o'clock face-off. Pre-game coverage here on WGR gets started at 6 o'clock with Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, and you'll be able to hear Paul all throughout the broadcast tonight on with Brian Koziel down in the locker room for post-game. And Paul joins us right now. Good afternoon, Paul. You've been a very busy man today, haven't you?
Yeah, I've talked to all of you. And as you said, the work is not done. We have a game this evening, which I hope is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, Paul, I know, like, over the past couple of days when I've been hosting, I feel like I've been really hyping up this team. And it's three opponents that they've played that have been, you know, not the best competition. But, I mean, the Canadiens were just in the Stanley Cup final last year. And, you know, Vancouver's always been a team that, you know, expectations are always so up and down for them, and you never really kind of know what team you're going to get. They have some good talent, but I'm really looking forward to seeing how they're going to be able to carry over the performances from the first three games of the season into this game where the Bruins are arguably going to be their first real tough challenge of the season.
Yeah, it is, and Boston didn't do well in Philadelphia, you know, losing that game, and so they're 1-1 on the season. They've only played the two games. They get to face their old goaltender in Linus Ullmark, and I was talking to Joe about this. Who has the advantage? I mean, Ullmark knows some of these shooters, but there's some turnover here, too. Guys he doesn't know, he hasn't faced in practice. Mike Bales was his coach. So
right.
Mike Bales knows his weaknesses mm-hmm. by heart. He knows ways to get to him and how to get him off his game. So, you know, will the Sabres then have an advantage? But it seems like every time a former Sabre goaltender rolls in here, he does pretty well. So I almost hesitate to say that Ullmark would, or that the Sabres would have the advantage.
Paul Hamilton joining us right now on the Wester Hotline here on WGR's appearance is brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning your future is more than just about money. It's Equitable. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Raylex Honda, Raylex, we've got this. All right, Paul. So before we get into tonight's matchup, I do want to ask you about the latest surrounding Jack Eichel. Emily Kaplan reported late last night that Eichel's camp is pretty much preparing to have one last push to attempt to get Eichel the confirmation to allow him to have the artificial disc replacement surgery, as it appears that trade talks have kind of died down because Kevin Adams is for probably the right reason, remaining staunch on the asking price for Eichel. So what's next here, Paul? How do you see this playing out going forward? Do you see a scenario where Kevin Adams and the Sabres let Eichel get the surgery after being staunch about not letting him get the surgery? Or do you think this gets even more uglier as time goes on?
Well, Emily Kaplan's report is not new. We can go back to around the time Jack Eichel was changing agents. And I believe it was Elliot Friedman, and then backed up by Darren Dreger. He was out in California seeing numerous doctors trying to get a bunch of people to be on his side kind of thing, to come with the same diagnosis as his doctor has. And I think Dreger had said he went about 50-50. You know, found some people that did, found some people that didn't. But, yeah, this is nothing new. This has been going on for a couple of months now, where he's been seeing different doctors trying to – you know, get maybe a consensus towards him and trying to convince the Sabres that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just, I don't know. To me, it just seems like at this point in this whole process, I don't know what more, Pat Brisson or CAA is going to do to convince the Sabres of changing their minds at all to let him get this surgery. I mean, at this point, it probably is going to have to go to arbitration. But as you've said in the past, I mean, what more can arbitration do for Jack Eichel at this point? The case is not really in his favor. So, I mean, are we realistically thinking that maybe we could see this carrying over and potentially getting up to the trade deadline and even maybe beyond then to a point where maybe the Sabres are going to have to try and get something done before his no movement clause kicks in at the start of next year?
Yeah, how can Eichel do anything legally? I mean, this is a collective bargaining agreement. And the name says it was collectively bargained between the NHL and the NHL Players Association. It was agreed to by both sides and signed by both sides. Jack Eichel is a member of the NHL Players Association, so they speak for him, which means he agreed through the Players Association to this collective bargaining agreement. So legally, I don't see what he can do at all, because it was collectively bargained. So
right.
I just don't see where he has a case there, and I totally understand the frustration. And I've said many, many times, this was a horrible thing that the Players Association did. They took the players' rights away.
Right, which is kind of the case that I bring up with people in conversations that I have. It's just like, yeah, sure, Eichel can be mad at the team, but if he should be really mad at anybody, it's the Players Association for this whole situation.
Absolutely. And I don't know what the Players Association got back for agreeing to this particular thing. I'm sure they got something back. I don't think they just did it for free. You know, that's how things are bargained. All right, we'll give you this, but we want this in return if we're going to give you this. So they had to have gotten something, but I don't see how any of it's worth it. Now, somebody could say back to me, well, this has really never happened before where it's been like this. And so maybe the Players Association didn't realize what it was giving up here, because in all the years, and I don't know how many years this has been in the collective bargaining agreement, but in all the years, it really hasn't come up where there's a disagreement of this magnitude, and then a player has no say over his medical procedures, which is asinine. I mean, that just makes no sense at all that the Players Association did that. So, moving forward, I'm sure that's something that the will be negotiated out of the next collective bargaining agreement, however the players are going to do it. But that does not help Jack Eichel. I totally understand his frustration, but, I mean, everybody wants to blame the Sabres on this. Blame the Players Association. The Sabres have done nothing against the collective bargaining agreement where they can have a grievance filed against them.
Paul Hamilton joining us right now on the Western Hotline here on WGR. All right, Paul. So looking ahead to tonight's matchup, I'm really looking forward to seeing how the efforts transition over from the first three games into this matchup, with Boston being their first really true tough contender on their regular season schedule. But certainly there are some players that I think have been needing to maybe step up their game a little bit more heading into this matchup here through the first three games. Who in your mind do you believe needs to maybe step up, and what are you wanting to see? Who are you wanting to see more from tonight?
From the Sabres?
Yeah, sure.
I haven't been disappointed in anybody, to be
right.
quite honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, they've really played well as a team. And that's why they've had the success that they've had. But I'm looking up and down the roster right now. I got nothing for you.
Mm-hmm.
I've liked the Thompson line. I think they work very well together. I think they mesh well together. I've liked the Mittelstadt/Cousins line. You know, went with what I've seen out of that. Vinny Hinostroza has been very good. Yeah, he had that one hiccup in the Arizona game, the Vancouver game, where he didn't pick up Horvat. Or he was with him and he let him go, and then he winds up alone in the slot and scores. But everybody makes mistakes in the game. I'm not going to hold one mistake against him. But, you know, he's actually, I mean, he has 7 shots on goal this year, and he has produced offensive opportunities for them. They just haven't gone in the net with his speed. So I've been, you know, pleased with that. The Eakin line speaks for itself. I mean, all three players are having career years right now as far as the way they're playing. So, and the defense, I've really liked how Bryson and Miller, I like that combination for the most part. It gets goofy now and then, but again, hockey is a game of mistakes. For the most part, I think those two have meshed very, very well. Dahlin, for the most part, again, I think it has been coming on playing very well. You know, he had Butcher come into the lineup after Joki Haru got hurt, so he had 1 game with Joki Haru and 2 with Butcher. Butcher's been okay. Now, I say okay. If Samuelson is, you know, he had his first practice today with the team. When he is ready to go, I probably would put him in for Butcher, because I think Samuelson is somebody that – I don't think Bryson would have gotten the opportunity in preseason. I think that was Samuelson's opportunity, and Bryson totally took advantage of it, you know, and looked really good in preseason and has looked good in the regular season. So I think Samuelson was kind of the one that was penciled in, and he got off to a great start. You were there with us in the broadcast.
Yeah.
In the prospects tournament, had a really, really nice game. But in the third – was it the third? Early in the third, I think – he took a shot, and
it was in the dying moments of that game. They were trying to preserve the shutout for Luukkonen.
So it was late in the third.
Yeah,
and you know, that's been the end of him until today. So I really think he was the guy that might have gotten the opportunity, whether they want him to go to Rochester and acclimate himself again, or if they want to throw him right in the lineup here. I mean, they could do either one, you know, if whatever they want to do with him. But.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think everybody has really – I might have said Jeff Skinner to a point until the last game. I mean, that goal was just a Jeff Skinner goal from your knees, and you roof it on the backhand.
Oh, yeah.
But he would look good throughout that game, I thought. It wasn't – I thought that was his best game of the year in that one. So I'm being real nitpicky here. So, yeah, I've really liked the team game so far, and – this is a total definition of a team right now. And I said, if we're talking talent, last year's team, I think, has this year's team beaten by a lot.
Yeah, like
because
I –
because there's Reinhardt, there's Eichel, you know. But if you're talking a team,
yeah,
guys who just play as a team, this one beats last year's by a lot.
Yeah, and as I was saying earlier in the show today, just like this is the best team effort overall I've seen in – I mean, arguably since the last time they made the playoffs, just since then, it seems like, you know, even in the earlier days when they fired Lindy Ruff, and the roster started to kind of like spontaneously combust within themselves a little bit. And then from there, it just really fell apart and so much change. But like the group that Don Granato's put together and the way that they've been playing, it's probably the best I've seen this team play from top to bottom since the last time they made the playoffs.
This, from a team standpoint, a team game, this is the best team since Nolan took that team and won the division with them, and he was coach of the year. Mm-hmm. And I believe Derek Plant might have been his top center on that team. It wasn't a team of stars. It was exactly like this team.
Yeah.
It was just a bunch of guys who meshed extremely well together, played as a team, liked each other, functioned as a team. And next thing you know, they won the division. And I am not predicting they're winning the division before everybody goes crazy on Twitter or whatever. That's not what I'm saying. But that's what this team, after three games, and we always have to keep putting that in there, that's what this team reminds me of.
Yeah, I keep adding the three games. I sound like a broken record, Paul.
Yeah.
Well,
these days of social media, you got to keep saying it because thing you say, oh, Hamilton thinks this is a Stanley Cup contender. Wait a minute, I didn't say that.
That's what I heard, Paul. All right, Paul. So what do we need to know about tonight's matchup in terms of lineup changes, who we're seeing to start and goal, and just what you're kind of looking for?
We'll see both Anderson and Tokarski today and tomorrow. So Anderson gets the home game. Tokarski gets the road game. And that makes sense. There have been a couple of days in between. As we already mentioned, Allmark is getting his first game after Jeremy Swayman played the first two for the Bruins. I find that all interesting. I've never understood the Allmark signing by the Boston Bruins. Mm-hmm. And it's not because I think Allmark showed last year for the first time that he can be a number one goalie in this league. But Jeremy Swayman was great last year, you know, in the time he played. And Vladar, I think, was his backup for a while, too, when Rask was hurt. While you're waiting for Rask to get healthy, I would have been totally fine with that. And I said it when the contract was came about that I think the Bruins are going to regret the contract, and I really think they are. Swayman has played 12 career games and has a 1.75 goals against and a .935 save percentage and has two shutouts in 12 games in the NHL. This is a 22-year-old kid who I'm not surprised at all that he won the job from Allmark. If they both were playing well, I think Swayman might be better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I didn't understand at all why Ullmark went, or why the Bruins went with Ullmark. And people, well, there were a lot of goalies the Sabres could have gotten when they thought the Sabres had the worst goaltending in the NHL, which mm-hmm. is why the way right now it's the best goaltending in the NHL. But it, again, it's only three games. you know, Ullmark was not giving the Sabres the Bruins contract. The Bruins got $5 million a year. He wanted at least $1 million more, and I think it was more than $1 million from the Sabres. It's like, if I'm going to come back to this mess, I got to make it worth my while. So the $5 million contract, which, by the way, I would not even given him that, was not available to the Buffalo Sabres.
Right.
And the goaltenders had signed in free agency with other teams. Do you think Grubauer was sitting there going, God, I can't get Kevin Adams to take my call. I want to get to the Sabres, and I just can't get Kevin Adams to take my call. What's wrong here?
I would guess the chances of that are no.
Yeah. Come on, people.
Yeah.
The good goaltenders weren't trying to get to Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't listening to Buffalo. If Kevin Adams called, and he probably did, they're like, we'll get back to you. We'll talk to you.
Yeah.
You know, type of thing. So, I mean, this narrative that there were so many good goalies and Adams blew it, really? Do you really think that goaltenders were trying to get to a team that hasn't made the playoffs in 10 years and has been the worst team in the NHL for, what is it, 4 out of the last 8? Mm-hmm. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, I think, yeah, you're right.
Including last year, including a few years ago when they drafted Dahlin. So why would you want to come here, even if the money is better, and sign a 3 or 4 year deal here or a 2 year deal or whatever it is, thinking that you probably have no shot at the playoffs in any of those years? I don't understand the thinking here. And it's just, there's too many people who try too hard to, you know, point out the flaws of the Buffalo Sabres. Guess what? The Sabres have enough flaws. You don't have to work that hard at it, you know, for the last 10 years. You don't have to work that hard at it, that you have to almost make things up. There's enough there in the last 10 years. If you want to be negative about the Buffalo Sabres, you can go all day if you'd like to, that you don't have to, you know, make things up that aren't even there.
Well, Paul, we will be listening for you later on tonight. We will see also John Hayden back in the lineup for the first time this regular season with the Sabres. He's playing for Cody Eakin. What exactly happened to Eakin, by the way? He crashed into the net?
Yeah, he crashed into the post.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's not great.
Slow to get up. Then he went over and sat on the bench for a little bit. He didn't go right to the room.
Okay.
Probably trying to collect himself, whatever it might have been, and then went to the room. And that was the last we saw of him. So, you know, all we know is it's the two games this weekend, and then there's another game on Monday, which we don't know about. And so this is the first time the Sabres have faced 3 games in 4, but at least the Tampa Bay one isn't back-to-back. They'll get Sunday off. The team will have that day off, and then they play Tampa Bay on Monday.
Okay. All right, Paul, we'll listen for you later on tonight and enjoy the rest of the weekend for you.
You too. Enjoy your vacation, too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks, Paul. Paul Take Hamilton care. Joining us on the Western Hotline. Paul's appearance on WGR brought to you by Equitable Advisors. I actually had the the sponsor read here, and I closed out of it. I got to bring it up here. Here we go. By Equitable Advisors, planning for your future is more about the money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we've got this. 803-0551, 888-552-550. If you want to call and give your thoughts about the Sabres, you're more than welcome to. Remember the tease, Zach, that I posted about the power ranking and the Sabres being high in one power ranking?
Absolutely.
There's a power ranking where they're ranked even higher than where they were.
Is there really?
This one is this one is quite astounding. We'll get to that at some point during the show here. But we'll come back, wrap up the hour, and then we'll get to David Pagnotta coming up at 2 o'clock right here on WGR.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
All right, wrapping up this first hour here on WGR. My thanks again to Paul Hamilton for joining me. So the Sabres will be playing against two of their former players tonight against the Bruins. Bruins technically have three of those players, but according to the line combinations and everything on dailyfaceoff.com, the third player is on injured reserve. That player is Curtis Lazar. He's hurt. He's not ready to play yet for Boston. However, the Sabres will face two former players, one being Taylor Hall. Taylor Hall was traded to the Bruins just before the trade deadline last year and ended up actually playing six games against the Sabres last season. He produced well. He scored twice and added four assists for 6 points. So he was a point-per-game player against the Sabres last year while playing with Boston. And then the other player is Linus Ullmark, of course. Ullmark returning to Buffalo for the first time since signing with the Bruins in the offseason. And as Paul mentioned, he lost the starting job to Jeremy Swayman. He's going to get his first start of the season tonight against the Sabres. The Sabres know him pretty well, so we'll see how that translates into game action tonight. But Linus Ullmark's going to have enough, I'm sure, will to want to win this game because he's going against his former team. He's got something to prove. But we'll see how this all goes. All right, 803-0551, 888-552-550. When we come back from the break, we're going to chat with David Pagnotta from theFourthPeriod.com. He'll join us and give us the latest on what's going on with the whole Jack Eichel situation, what his thoughts on the Sabres are through the first three games, getting some more thoughts around the NHL as well. And then in the 2:30 segment, we'll get to the power rankings, the astonishing power rankings through the first three games in the first week of the season. That's all coming up in a little bit here. Brayton Wilson filling in for the One Bills Live today here on WGR.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.